Hello, lovely folks. This is Youth for Justice every Thursday nights from 6 to 7 on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And just to let you know, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. With that being said, Mr. Isaac is not here with us today, so we are doing a woman empowerment episode. Woo! We're going to lead it in with an awesome Lady Gaga song. There you go. All right, guys, that was some Lady Gaga with Hey Girl. And with that Hey Girl, we're talking about woman empowerment today. And I have two guests with me today that are awesome women in my life. So you want to introduce yourself, guys? Or girls?
Hi, I'm Lauren. I am a psychology student at Chico State. And I am also the outreach director for a local company, Chico Chai, which is a great company. And I've done a couple of different jobs with local companies and things like that.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Karen, and I'm currently working as an entrepreneur on my own business on sustainable proteins, and specifically that of insects.
Ooh, crickets. Have you ever tried those cricket tacos? You really have to, because they are awesome. With that being said, woman supporting woman. I think that's so important, right, guys?
Absolutely.
I would definitely eat one of your cricket tacos.
Yeah? So good.
They're really scared. They're really good. What's your company called?
It's called Jinku, but you'll hear more about it, you know, in a few months. It's just getting in the starts. Me and my business partner are running everything.
See? Awesome. So with that being said, we are talking about women in the workplace. We're going to start with that because, as you know, there are a lot more obstacles with kind of characteristics that we get labeled in and boxes we get thrown in and stuff like that. So if you guys want to talk about any of your own personal experiences or anything, I know that I personally am a very animated person. You probably know that. So often, I don't know if you know this, but you get called bossy and loud and just too much sometimes, mostly by men, not to call them out. But we're going to talk a little bit about why we think that is something that comes across that way.
So I can talk about an experience I had a few months ago when I was working with Tesla. So it's a very interesting situation. We had issues with our manager and we wanted to talk about it to HR. So finally we had a representative from HR come in and sit the entire group. By the way, I'm the only female and the youngest. Everyone is 40 and they're all white males. I'm the only Hispanic girl in her 20s. And so as we're sitting there, you know, the HR manager is asking us details and information about our manager. And I want to get my word heard because I'm the one who got a lot of negative stuff coming from the manager because he was worried about me because I was a girl and he wasn't sure that I was going to be able to perform the jobs that the men were doing. So I wanted to talk. You know, part of the reason this conference was happening was because of the situations that I had to live through. So there we all are, and there's like 8 men, and they're just talking and just saying these things like, oh, you know, he's not terrible, you know. And every time I want to talk, you know, someone's talking, and I start talking, and immediately after I start talking, somebody overtalks me, and I'm getting extremely frustrated because it's coming to like the end point of where the meeting's almost over. So finally, I start talking, and I get interrupted, and I just stand up and scream, I am tired of you not letting me talk or overspeaking over me. And everyone just looked quiet, like, whoa, Karen. Like,
who's this crazy lady?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why did you just scream? And I was just, like, shocked that I did that. You know, I just lifted myself up and screamed. And, you know, and I could tell that everyone was in shock, so I started to get a little panicky. But that didn't stop me. I continued to say my thoughts and all the situations that had happened between me and my manager at the time. And as I'm discussing it, you know, one of the other men starts to interrupt me and I just lift my finger to his face and just, and everyone's looking at me like, whoa, Karen, who is this girl we have not met before? So once the conference was over, you know, they came up to me and were like, Karen, we've never seen you get so emotional like that. And I really think it's ridiculous that I had to get that emotional to get my voice heard while they won't ever talk over each other. But me, yes, because I'm the youngest, because I was the only female. And I don't think that's something that we should, as women, we should not have to scream our voice while men don't have to do that.
Yeah, they're often seen as more assertive. There's definitely a double standard with that. Women face more than men don't. Men are expected to be assertive and confident, so that their coworkers often welcome that leadership, whereas in contrast, women are expected to be nurturing and collaborative. So when we do have reactions like that where we're trying to express emotion, you often face pushback from that. And It's kind of like the likability penalty too, that women kind of always want to be well liked, and there's more pressure on us than men. Men are always kind of seen like, we don't get judged on how we carry ourselves. They get judged on that, or what they're wearing. That's what bothers me the most, is a lot of the critiques I get in office are like, well, what are you wearing today? Are you distracting to the men? Like, stuff like that.
Oh, no. Yeah. And it is super telling that, you know, you had to get that emotional in order to be heard, because it wasn't just the norm for you to be heard. So you had to get to the point where you were, like, quote unquote, making a scene just in order to have your comments be heard, which were, it should have been a commonplace thing where you just spoke your piece and had it put on the record. But instead, you know, it became something that was, again, quote unquote, like, your fault, because you weren't given that place. So you had to make it for yourself, which became messy when you should have had that place in the first place.
And you often get, because you did have a more emotional outburst first, because it came to that, then you're kind of labeled as emotional, which is kind of what we kind of get thrown in a bag as, like, hey, you're just an emotional lady.
Exactly. I didn't get a single compliment. It was just like, wow, you got really emotional. And that almost made me feel bad for even getting to that. But I had to talk myself, like, Karen, no, you really needed to do that, and you needed to realize that the people that you're working around don't look at you equally. Like, my opinions were never viewed that great, you know, and whenever I had advice for them, they were not open to it, even though I had higher numbers in the sales process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if they questioned that you'd be able to handle this man's world, I find that very, I don't even have a word for it right now. it's kind of, I think that they think there's more, and I kind of find this because I talk about my family sometimes. They go, there's way more women in power nowadays. There's so much more progression nowadays. There's all this, like, women, like, why are women just trying to fight so much for more rights when in other countries they can't do this and that? And I'm like, well, why are you trying to compare apples and oranges kind of thing? It's like, let's take care of what's going on here, because there is so much that is still a problem, especially trying to rise up in a workplace, also with obviously rape culture, which we'll get to, and with saying no, and with women feeling like they have to be like men, and they have to, like, step on other women and other people to get up the ladder, which we're not like men, so we don't have to do certain things like that. So, yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, they are men, and when they're saying things like, oh, you know, women have gotten such a far away, why are they still fighting for this? Why is feminism even a thing? That's where I just, my mind just gets blown, because you're a man, you're not a woman, you're never gonna know what it's like to be a woman. You don't know the oppression that they go through.
Yeah.
And I think one of my silly little analogies that I use is kind of like, you have 5 broken bones, and you go to the doctor, and they set and bandage and start the healing process for 3 of them. And then you're like, well, I still have 2 other broken bones. And they're like, you have 3 healed bones. Why are you talking about your 2 broken bones? And that's just kind of a silly little analogy for something that is very real and we experience all the time, is like, well, you know, 40 years ago, women couldn't do this. And it's like, well, yeah, they couldn't. But also,
we still can't do this.
Yeah, there's also just so much more we can go and so much more we can accomplish in the field of equality.
And I think this quote sums that up really well. It's, feminism isn't about making women stronger. Women are already strong. It's about changing the way the world perceives that strength, which I think is really important.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm just kidding. So I think this conversation starts as, it's just having that conversation. And I think what's really important, I actually had this conversation with one of my best friends recently, is unfortunately men have to be included. And when men say it to other men, I know that sounds bad, but they hear it more than when women are trying to tell men that this is a problem. Because men don't want to hear that. They're not going to be like, hey, like, I acknowledge that I don't have as much privilege as you do. I can't hear it on here. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that comes in the form of calling your buddy out for his sexist joke, just fighting for the woman who is in your office. If you hear someone say something about her, like, oh, she's so bossy, just kind of ask why they think that. Make them explain it to you. And especially with those sexist jokes that people pass off as just joking, I don't necessarily believe that we do just joke. We kind of joke about things that we believe. So if you're hearing someone say some nasty things in jokes, chances are that those are some underlying beliefs that they have. So getting called out on those can make a huge difference, because, like, I used to make jokes about things that I thought but didn't even realize that I thought. And when someone started saying, like, hey, do you actually think that? I was like, oh, no, maybe I don't, and I don't want to be presenting that as my views.
Yeah, having that conversation and not in an aggressive way, because I feel like sometimes when you come off too much about, like, you're doing this all wrong and you should be doing this, like, automatically that just stifles the conversation. It's definitely, I know I was at a bar a while ago, and I ran into someone I used to work with, and he, like, mentioned this other guy that I also knew, and I like made a face, and he was like, oh, why do you not like him? And I was like, oh, I just don't like the way he treats women. I've noticed, you know, he does a lot of, like, really negative things. And he's like, well, he's nice to me. And I basically was like, oh, well, I just, like, blurted it out because I just couldn't help myself. I was like, well, you're just perpetuating rape culture. And he's like, did you just call me a rapist? And I was like, not in the least bit. You obviously did not understand that at all. And he got mad and walked away. But
that's And kidding. It is hard, because we do need to work to stop perpetuating rape culture and having it be something that's just something that just happens and we're kind of passive about it. But it is also so exhausting to try to meet people where they're at. And honestly, some people don't want to be met anywhere.
That's
so
true.
It's kind of a pick and choose your battles type of thing, because often no matter how you approach it, people are going to have that same reaction where they're like, it's kind of like the how dare you reaction, which is difficult to deal with. And it's hard to move on from there once you try to start a conversation. Once someone has decided kind of what your viewpoint is, it's really hard to convince them otherwise.
Very true. So here, making sure women's ideas are heard, here is a little information from my article I was reading. So things like this that we're talking about, being interrupted or not feeling like you have a voice in your workplace, because this is something we want to talk about, is how do you advocate for yourself in the workplace, especially being a woman and maybe a man's profession or in a place where you might not feel like you have a voice. So it says, if you watch coworkers at the same level in meetings, you'll likely notice that more men sit in the front and center seats, while women tend to gravitate towards the end of the table and edge of the room, away from positions that convey status. Women also get less airtime in group discussions. We are interrupted more by both men and women and given less credit for ideas. So here's a solution, they say. Set a good example by sitting front and center and speaking up in meetings, and encourage other women to do the same. Then look for ways to shape the conversation. When a woman is interrupted, interject and say, you'd like to hear her finish. When a coworker runs away with a woman's idea, remind everyone it originated from her by saying, great idea. Thanks to Karen for surfacing it. If you see a woman struggling to break into a conversation, say you'd like to hear other points of view. When you advocate for your female coworkers, they benefit, and you're seen as a leader. Moreover, meetings are more effective when everyone's best thinking is heard. So that's like a little solution to maybe the interrupted, and maybe you don't have someone that advocates for you in the workplace, but sometimes you have to advocate for yourself. And
yeah, like the Lady Gaga song said, you know, we can make this easier if we lift each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something we as women need to, some of us don't already do this, and if you do, that's great, but it's really important to lift the women around you. If you already feel that you're in a position where you already feel empowered, then in a way it's your job to help empower those around you, because not everyone feels that way.
Yeah.
And the more women that feel that way, then the easier that we can accomplish this.
And think about this, men, if you are trying to get a position of power, there's so many mentors and people that you see in that power that you could emulate, like you would see. Whereas us, there's fewer people and our voices are less. Also, like, we talked about this earlier, where they're like, oh, there's one woman represented in here, so that means we're good. It's like, no, that woman doesn't represent all the voices. We're all unique people that have different voices, and you're just stifling that, especially with women of color and minorities. You see that more too, is a lot of times they make studies based on white women and their points of view, which, yes, they're still women, but they have more privilege than the rest of women. So usually, like, I was at a coalition meeting, and I had a coalition member, and this was very nice. It wasn't a bad experience, but she had to ask me what my ethnicity was, because they needed more diversity on their coalition. She's like, you look ethnic. What are you? And I was like, oh, well, I'm Hispanic. All right. Yeah, Latina. But it's interesting. So I think that when people often see that they see diversity, they see one woman and they think it's diversity.
Yeah, there's a certain, like, tokenization, like, in the story that you just told, where they were like, well, we need more diversity, and you look ethnic, so that'll count for the entire viewpoint of your ethnic or racial group, when that is not how it works, because, I mean, just, there are just so many people within each different category of human, and there's no way that one person can speak for everyone.
No, and that's why we lack voices, because we think we have them when we just have certain kinds of voices. So this is a Harvard Business Review article, and it's titled, Don't Underestimate the Power of Women Supporting Each Other at Work. So basically the beginning gist of it is she was trying to get a job in a law firm as being a partner, and there was only one other woman partner, and she asked this other lady for help and said, hey, do you want to be my mentor? And her honest reaction was, her reaction to that was, look, there's only room for one female partner here. You and I are not going to be friends. And that is something that we often see with that, is, you know, not supporting. Really fast, though, we have to do some underwriters. So would you like to lead the underwriters? Yeah, just read it.
Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events including Arttoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Sonia Airy, a local Allstate insurance agent. Sonia is concerned about the community and helps families understand their immediate and long-term needs and goals. Whether you're protecting your life, home, auto, boat, or motorcycle, Sonia Airy can help. Sonia can be reached by calling or texting 345-2351.
Awesome. And we're going to get more into this woman empowerment, but we're going to break it up with a little bit of a song. And this is one of my favorite songs. No joke. It is No Doubt, Just a Girl. You ready for this?
Just a girl, a little lonely. Well, don't
Yeah, we have had it up to here. So that was a little just a girl in a world with men. So we're going to talk a little bit more. If you're just joining us, we're talking about female empowerment and advocating for yourself in the workplace. And then we're going to segue into why women don't like to say no. It's a very hard thing for us to say. We're very conditioned to be... We want to be helpful and collaborative. That's just our nature. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I have this article. It says, "For years, I said yes to everything. Saying no finally got me ahead at work." So it basically says little girls are taught to be helpful. Girls will be gracious. Girls will be nice. And we can help you with anything. Can we help you with anything? It's just a mindset that we kind of bring into our careers that can get you so far because people will notice it, but then you also kind of become a doormat. So it's kind of us having to find that balance of, yes, we want to be helpful and collaborative, and we do want to help each other out, and it goes along with our empowerment thing, but we also have to be careful and you know, how do I want to say this, guys? What am I saying?
I think that we just need to start saying no, because kind of like you said, I feel like we've more been conditioned to say yes to things because, like, as a little kid, I would scream no at people. Like, if I didn't want to do the thing, like, I'd let you know. So it's a super, super important thing for us to be able to kind of relearn that skill of, like, you know how when you try to give a toddler a vegetable that they hate, they are going to let you know that they don't want it. But as adults, when someone gives us a vegetable we hate, we're like, oh, thank you for making that for me. And I'm not saying that we need to start saying no in that situation. But being able to say no to things that we don't want to say yes to, because I have definitely taken on things that I didn't want to because I had a gut feeling of like, oh, I don't want to do this. But then the expectation was that I was just going to do it. So kind of connecting back to that, where when we feel that it's a no, just... being able to say no.
It's hard. And you know what other thing I struggle with is saying I'm sorry. I always say I'm sorry to everybody. Like, I say I'm sorry way too much. And it's just kind of changing that that mindset and that tone of what you're saying. I've been trying to say, instead of saying I'm sorry, it's like making it more positive. Like, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. Thank you. Or instead of saying that, saying thank you for waiting. Like, spin it around in that kind of sense. Or like, I'm sorry. I even say I'm sorry when I bump into people all the time.
Or when people bump into me. Like, I'm in the grocery store and someone is in my way, I will say, sorry, can I get around you? And it's like, I have just as much right to be in that aisle of the grocery store as anyone else. But yeah, going to Winco is exhausting because I apologize to about 50 people because I'm trying to get my cereal. And
I think as women, that's something that just comes naturally, to apologize or to guilt ourselves for things. Like,
I often overly think things.
Yeah, I often find myself thinking, like, oh, I wonder if I was too bossy when I was, like, trying to train these people. And I'll ask people, was I being bossy? And that's something I should not be asking. What do I mean by bossy? Because I was assertive? I feel like I was bossy? I just think that, yeah. I don't think men really... think
about
that. Things.
They don't have those internal conversations like we do.
And the fact that, you know, in your story from earlier where you did have to kind of start yelling in order to be heard in a meeting, the fact that you felt guilty afterwards and you had to talk yourself back up to being like, no, I deserved to be heard. It's just something that, you know, we shouldn't be... It almost shouldn't even be like crossing our minds, because it's like we have just as much of a right to take up space, be heard, and be at the table as anyone else. Right. So, you know, we need to reverse that conditioning of yes and I'm sorry.
That's something I find hard to do also in relationships as well, like personal relationships. Like, I tend to do that when I'm dating somebody. I definitely also, and I think we talked about this before when we had our conversation, is we kind of set a baseline. This is kind of going off subject, but I have to put this in my rants lead the conversations, which is we kind of set a baseline for men where it's like, when we're dating someone, we're like, oh, he's so nice. Like, I should be with him because he's so nice. And then guys say it too. They're like, well, I was nice to you. I was nice. I did this. Nice guys finish last and all that kind of stuff like that. Where it's like, being nice should be the baseline of everything. It shouldn't be an extra thing like, oh my God, you should be with someone because he's nice. I had someone tell me that. I just stopped seeing someone and he's a really, really, really nice guy. But there wasn't anything else, like there wasn't that connection, and I don't want to stifle that just because this person treats me well. And it's like, well, you're not going to get that with anyone else. It's like, well, no, that's not what this should be about. I shouldn't be with someone just because they're nice. They should all be nice.
Exactly. Being nice is something that should be ingrained in everyone, not just women, men too. Being nice, being kind. It's so important to be kind.
Yeah. And they often see nurturing and kindness as a woman thing, but I think when we change, because I see men have issues too, like they can't be emotional, man up, you can't do this. And then when, like, so they have that issues too, but it's just changing those roles. And
I think you said it really well when you were talking about how niceness / kindness and nurturing are seen as feminine traits. They're also seen as weaker traits.
That's true.
So as we're conditioned to be nice and kind and accommodating and nurturing, a lot of those things are just seen as like, oh, well, that means that you can't handle things when things get tough, when in reality, it absolutely doesn't mean that. And that is why I think, you know, sometimes men have that issue where they're not allowed to be emotional or have those like super nurturing moments and just niceness in general.
We'll be called a pussy and mm-hmm. like you're a pussy.
Yeah, which man again is a very feminine insult.
Exactly.
Because those are seen as traits which are feminine, which sometimes is synonymous with bad.
Yeah, I've been coining, I don't think it's coining, it's been around forever, but I've been saying woman up a lot. I don't know why. Like, I texted my friend the other day. I was like, I don't want to do this, but I'm just going to woman up and do it.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's
just
a
like,
really good one.
Yeah, so just, like, woman up. Like, that's not a, it's
yeah, I've also heard a lot, you know, like, men say things like, you know, you're just, like, too kind, so you're not making a justice, like, judgment, or our judgment is not considered right because we're too kind, that we're not looking in the right direction. I also think that's something that I've faced a lot, and it's ridiculous and so untrue.
Yeah, that's a big thing I face too, being too kind. Like, oh, you're not gonna, you think your emotional side of your brain thinks too much. You're not gonna be able to get the things done when things need to happen. Like, you won't be able to make that hard decision when it comes to it because you're too emotional. You're too kind. You're too this. It's like, I think that's why women and men balance each other really well, and we try to. And not necessarily because there are women, men that are more nurturing and women that are more of the other way, too. So it's like not even a men and woman thing, but I think those two qualities balance each other really well because it's more of like your mind, your logic and your emotions should be working together to get things done. It shouldn't be one or the other. Like, that might be the more logical thing, but it's not ethical. And then that might be an ethical thing, but it doesn't make sense, you know?
And I would argue that we, like, men and women are at least similarly emotional.
They just don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, it's more just like the way that it's expressed, who's allowed to be emotional.
Physically, it comes out physically.
I just think it just goes back to the way they're raised. You know, like when I was younger, my brother couldn't play dolls with me without like my other brothers making fun of him. Or, you know, just as men are raised, they're raised that they have to have like this manly, men don't cry, men don't have emotions, like they grow up thinking this way. So it's, you know, sometimes it's no wonder they act like that at this age.
Yeah, definitely. And then you kind of get into that concept of when you do tell people that there shouldn't be certain gender roles, they're like, oh, well, this is a new thing. We don't know what's politically correct anymore. What should we be doing? I don't get it. Like, everyone's doing something different. It's like, like, things are constantly changing and we're moving forward and more voices and diversity are coming into play, and that's why there's all this kind of thing. I was at my boss's house the other day and we were watching a documentary on political correctness, and I went home and watched it and I was like, this is awesome. Because my parents often say things like that, like, what's politically correct anymore? Like, that's a thing that comes into into question all the time.
Right, and I don't think it's, like, for individuals, you know, if they want to try to be more open or they don't want to sound harsh or if they're watching out what they're saying, I feel like a lot of the people are like, well, that's so much to ask for, you know, like, all the music I like says that kind of stuff. We're not asking you to change your music, but just...
Be more just aware.
Be aware of what it's going on, what it's saying. Like, I like rap music, too, but there are some lyrics where I'm just like, gosh, why on earth are they saying that? Kind of just fast forward, okay, there's that cool part again.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, I think we make, as a society, we make those sacrifices seem so big when in reality it's like, just don't say a couple of words. Don't call people certain names. And, you know, if someone asks you to call them a certain name or by certain pronouns, just switch. And in the grand scheme of things, like, you're not suffering from changing your vocabulary a little bit. And I think that's part of the problem is a lot of people view it as like this huge thing that's like affecting every aspect of their life, when in reality it's just a little bit of a vocabulary shift, taking a couple words out of your rotation.
Right, and I think that with awareness, that's something that will come in naturally, you know. Mm-hmm. Once you realize the effect on it, you're gonna be like, well, why have I been saying this all this time? You know, maybe I shouldn't use this word. Like, now that I'm aware, it's kind of disgusting to say this, so I'm gonna, you know, stop that.
And I think a lot of times when it doesn't affect you personally and you have no idea, that's when you kind of have to recognize your privilege too, because you're like, wow, I've never thought about that, because you never had to.
And that goes with like gender differences and especially like race differences. It's, you know, privilege is not the idea that you have no problems, but it's like you don't have this very specific set of problems based on your gender or race. So it's not that people think that you've gone through life and people have just given you everything you wanted, but there are a very specific set of things that you just haven't experienced because of the privilege based on gender or race.
And that kind of goes into, and I know this might be triggering for people, so I'm going to say that, trigger warning. Let's talk a little bit about rape culture, because that's something that I definitely advocate a lot for, and that's something that I'm very passionate about in my life as an advocate and for domestic violence as well. So I think a lot of times guys don't realize their position of power in this whole thing and kind of what they perpetuate more. And even like with things in the media, I was really upset the other day because I was reading some stuff on, you guys remember Brock Turner, the swimmer? Every time they say his freaking name in articles still, they don't even like mention it. They say Brock Turner, the swimmer from Stanford, is going back. It's like, why wouldn't you say Brock Turner, the rapist? Like, why is it that he gets that much privilege where he's acknowledged for his swimming ethic over what he did and things like that? And
that's a very explicit example of that. And there are so many more subtle examples. Just in the past couple of weeks, like, especially female singers, like, they are judged for dressing a certain way when in reality it doesn't matter what they're wearing if people are gonna be gross about it. So, and that's something that's a little more subtle. It's like, oh, well, if she didn't want to be looked at that way, she shouldn't have dressed like that. So it's not
yourself.
Always
that's,
exactly.
Yeah, we can dress however we want.
Like, even, like, today, like, I walked in, you're like, one of you guys said, like, oh, you have a cute dress. And you're like, thank you. Like, it was on sale. like you're excited about things like that. Like, yeah, girls like how, like some girls, not all girls, but, you know.
I just feel like women are so open to judgment. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, look at what she's wearing. If she's not wearing something hot, she's wearing something, like, that looks ridiculous. Or, like, those pants looked horrible. But when they
can wear a basketball shorts and a cap and everyone doesn't care what they're wearing.
Like, that's just them.
That's just dumb. But girls, either way, you're going to get judged. It's either that's too sexy and that's too much, or whoa.
Who are you dressing up for?
Like, who are you dressing up for? Or it's like, oh, wow, you don't care about how you look. You're not going to attract the husband that way. It's like, I don't dress to attract a husband. Thank you very much. Or wife, whatever I'm into. But like, I just get infuriated by how much it's misconceived also in the media, and what people think about rape culture, because even with people who you think know a lot about it, you'd be surprised with their conception. I don't know if you guys want to weigh in more about this, because I have so much rumbling on in my mind and it's coming out.
I think you make a really good point with media. It's kind of all pervasive at this point because it's on our phones, it's on the TV, it is billboards, it's everywhere. So one thing that one person says can definitely spread so quickly. And I think that's also super important with any kind of joke. Going back to jokes, is any kind of joke about rape or sexual assault is just so not okay, because it just perpetuates that idea that this is okay. This is just something that happens, and kind of that idea that there's nothing we can do about it, so let's joke about it to soldier on, which is a super frustrating mindset, because I think that we do have the ability to change whatever we want to change if we are alert and assertive about it. But it is exhausting, and it's hard to see every time you open up a social media platform. It's everywhere.
It's always solutions too on how we can prevent it too, which is also, I know this is all Pablo, you guys hear this the whole time, and I'm just gonna say it though. So my cousin was walking down the street, she just told me this morning, and she wasn't paying attention because she was like, just got out of work, her car was a block away, and she was like talking to a homeless person, like having a conversation, and she was like walking, and all of a sudden I guess a bystander said, hey, do you notice this guy has been following you? And she hadn't noticed because she's like, literally her car was a block away. And she's like, I wasn't on an alert then. It's my fault. Like, I can't believe I wasn't on an alert and wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. Which, in a sense, is like, yeah, you should be paying attention to your surroundings because anything could happen. But at the same time, it is more of a woman issue. Like, at this table, how many of you have been, like, stalked before or someone followed you and it's been a man or something?
Yes, I definitely have.
It's happened to me multiple times.
I've had that. I had someone
follow me home.
Follow me across campus to ask for my phone number. And, like, not, like, a couple buildings, but, like, real far.
But if you say no, they either say, you're a B word, or, oh, well, you're not that pretty anyways, or like, oh, or this and that, and things like that. It's just like, we make excuses, and then we feel bad afterwards. We're like, well, maybe we were too harsh on them. Like, maybe we should have this and that, or like, oh, man, I feel really bad. It's like, no, dude. Like, and also, we talked about this too. Like, guys will only back off if you say you have a boyfriend. That's like the only way. Like, you could be like, no, I'm not interested. Why? I could show you a good time. Like, oh, my God, da da da. No, I'm not interested. Oh, but you know you want to drink. Right, like, I got you, I'll get no, I'm good, I don't want anything. Oh, but girl, like, we could do. I have a boyfriend. Oh, okay, well, I'm not gonna infringe on your boy's property. Like, really though?
Yeah, it's like they're always looking to put ownership on something.
Yeah, definitely. Anyways, so with this being said, we are gonna play a little bit of Aretha with some respect, because that's what we are trying to find in this world, respect. And carry it on, Aretha. You preach, girl. You preach.
Just a little.
Hello, guys. So, on the break, our Mr. Guillermo over here just reminded me that I said sorry again. I almost said, I'm sorry, I said sorry. But see, we're always a work in progress, and we're always trying to get better, and
yeah.
I am working on saying I'm sorry so much. Really quick, before we come back, we're going to have a couple more underwriters. So, Karen, take it away.
Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KCFR supporters and by the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Along with the California Craft Brewers Association, Sierra Nevada will be celebrating their Hop Harvest Festival on October 20th. Featuring fresh hop beers from more than 50 breweries, tickets go on sale August 23rd at SierraNevada.com and by the Feather River Nature Center Dinner and Dance. This elegant event will be held on Friday, September 21st on the levee overlooking the beautiful Feather River in historic downtown Oroville. Choose between grilled salmon or tri-tip and dance to the crawlers. No host bar at 6, dinner at 7, and dancing at 8. For tickets and details, visit SalmonFestOroville.org on Facebook or by calling 520-4742.
Ooh, I'll be at Salmon Fest, by the way. If you want to come visit me, I'll have a booth there. I work for the American Lung Association, and I will be there. Anyways, all right, so getting back to this, again, we are Youth for Justice. We are a work group that's starting in Chico as well, so if you want to get involved, we're going to be doing a bunch of networking groups and talking about the issues. It won't be just women things. Today is a woman-dominated episode because my co-host Isaac is not here, but we do a lot of other things. It's Youth for Justice, so it's anything that you feel that you're connected to in the community you think is a problem, and we'll talk more about that in other episodes. But getting back to this female-dominated episode, we're going to talk to you a little bit about compassionate communication. So I don't know if you guys know about that, but it's another form of communication that Miss Lauren is going to talk to you about.
So compassionate communication and nonviolent communication, I'll kind of go off of like nonviolent communication, which was developed by Marshall Rosenberg. It just is a really awesome way to talk to people in order to get your voice heard and to get what you need. So sometimes the name of it is a little misleading, but it's really about how to have a conflict and to get people to have a solution that they want. Because a lot of times conflicts are just conflicts and they don't end up having something happen that feels good for both parties or even either of them. So the four components of a nonviolent communication expression are to make an observation about what's going on. So this is especially important in the workplace. So an observation is just you say what happened rather than making a judgment about it. Because making a judgment is a surefire way to get someone to just shut down and not want to listen to you. So it's kind of like when I see, when I hear, when I notice. So it could be when I heard you say that joke. And then the second part is your feeling, which is free of your thoughts. And I actually did a nonviolent communication, compassionate communication thing with some middle schoolers, and getting them to say a feeling that was actually a feeling was really hard.
It's hard to like classify your feelings. I even have problems with it. Like, why am I feeling this way and what's making me feel this way? And I have to think about it. I'm like, taking that time to actually think about why you feel that way is important too, because sometimes it's a bigger thing than you think it is, and sometimes it's just small. You're like, oh well, I'm just having a bad day, I don't know, that didn't really piss me off.
Yeah, and being able to express your feeling that's actually your feeling and not your judgment or your observation. So, like, I definitely had some kids say, like, I feel like you're being mean to me. And I was like, no, being mean to me is not a feeling. Or I feel like you're a jerk. Also not a feeling. So, like, some examples of feelings are, like, affectionate, angry, disgusted, grateful, engaged. Those are all feelings that have no judgment or thoughts attached to them.
So instead of saying, like, if they were going to say, like, you're feeling mean, you're mean to me, you'd be, you would say, like, if, like, so say this guy is being really mean to me, I wouldn't be like, you're mean and you're a jerk. You would say, I feel like when you tell me that you, that I look like this or whatever he said to me, it makes me feel, it makes me feel unhappy or something like
unhappy,
that.
Unhappy, unsafe. So, unsafe. Like, saying what happened and then attaching your feeling to it. And then the third part is expressing your need. So you have a need to feel safe and unobjectified. So in that situation that you were talking about, you noticed him say something inappropriate. You felt unsafe, unhappy. Mm. You need to feel safe. You need to feel respected. You need to feel a sense of community. There's all kinds of things that you have.
So then with like Karen's situation of being interrupted, if she would have been like, I feel like I'm unheard. I feel like I have no voice. And you're like, how would she have expressed that she felt unheard?
Yeah. So it's, this part is definitely, it's even really hard for me. And I've been trying to practice it a lot more often, but making sure that when you say, I feel, you follow it with the feeling, because otherwise we're just making stuff up. If it's like, I feel like you're not listening to me, like you're not listening to me is not a feeling. So she could feel scared because she's not getting heard and doesn't know, like in this specific situation with Karen, like these things about the manager needed to be brought to HR. So she was upset about it. She was angry, could be feeling uneasy. So those feelings were super negative. So it was like she could have said, and I'm not critiquing what you did. This is just like an example for someone in your situation. It's like, when I feel ignored, I feel really angry. And I need to feel the respect. I need to feel respected. So then after those three things, when I feel because I need, like attaching your needs is very important, because that's one of those things that it's hard to be assertive with, because we do need respect and safety and to feel honesty. Heard. And to feel heard, absolutely.
Feel heard and valued and respected.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, and that's hard atmosphere for the setup. And I think this is really important to talk about. And I think you might, I'm going to say the other side of this, of what maybe viewers might be hearing about this, be like, hey, well, isn't that too not assertive enough, because we're in a workplace that maybe guys aren't going to listen to it. But I think what you're going with here is that we're trying to change that conversation, how we talk to people.
Absolutely.
As a whole, which is setting up this progressive work environment, which is really important. So yeah, keep going. I just want to interject that, because I feel like people might be like, well, you guys are just talking about being all like getting your voices heard and everything, and then you're being all passive about it. But that is not they coincide.
Yeah, sometimes we have a tendency to view passive and kind as synonymous, which again, they are not. And sometimes we view assertiveness and meanness as the same, which again, totally not. And I think it's super important to be able to have a conflict where there is a resolution.
Yeah.
So the very last part of that is to make a request. And it is hard. And in some situations in a workplace, we do need to make demands. But making a request after saying what you hear, what you notice, and what you feel, and what you need, making that request where, hey, would you change your behavior?
Yeah.
So that is kind of it's a really good way to kind of open people up to what you're saying, because sometimes mostly all the time, people don't want to hear what they're doing wrong. So that's where those I statements are so important.
And putting, attaching feeling to it, which is important.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think that thing we were talking about with logic and emotion go into place, which you have to explain a situation by changing it. This is really great. And how can they find more information on that? I mean, to switch you off, but we only have a few minutes, and I want to talk a little bit about starting your own business.
Yeah. So if you're interested in nonviolent communication, the Center for Nonviolent Communication is www.cnvc.org.
Awesome. Awesome. So in the last few minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about, so Karen is starting her own business, and so you are an awesome lady in the workforce, being an entrepreneur.
Ooh.
And so I have another friend that also owns her own business. She's really awesome. And one of her quotes she sent me, which I think is awesome, is when one person tells you no, ask someone else. And I think that's really important. So you want to talk a little bit about your experience starting your own business?
Yeah, I will talk about it. Well, first of all, you know, I'll kind of give you the reactions that I get from when I talk to people about my business that I'm starting. So when we talk to people about our business, my partner and I, we, you know, first, some when I'm just talking to people, the first thing I hear is like, what? You're trying to feed cricket tacos to people? Which is already surprising. The second thing is like, oh, wow, Karen, like, you know, how amazing, like, you as a woman, like, you just being just doing this, like, super admirable. And then sometimes I've gotten this from family members, just like, well, let's see if it actually happens. It's easy to talk the talk, but can you actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always doubt in people, and I think that's something that women get all the time, just a bunch of doubt.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that you fight the doubt and just always, like, support yourself and realize, okay, no, ignore their doubt, don't even think about that, you know, and have faith in what you're doing and just work with it with all your heart.
I think that's really important. And I think we need to celebrate other women's accomplishments, and women need to encourage other women to go for it. And I think a mentorship is a thing. Like I talked about before, it's like the other lady was like, oh, well, there's only room for one of us. And I think that that's really important, that other people that have made it successful and need to give back in a sense of, like, I think more women are successful with the help of the support of other women. And I think that's really, you hear that all the time. It's like, women who support other women are amazing. Like, and I think that's something that we should always strive for. And that's so amazing. And I don't know if you guys want to end on something better than what I'm saying, because it's not the best.
I think you make a great point. And I think it is super important to find those women that support each other, because it's definitely, unfortunately, not the norm. So like Karen was saying, there are people who've told her like, oh, well, we'll see. But there are always, always people who will support you. So I think that our goal just needs to be louder about it, and to find people to support and find people to support us, and to just kind of build up this community so that it's loud and proud and in your face a little bit.
Yeah, be brave, women. You know, don't let anyone put you down. Fight your fears straight in the face. Like, this is how you get it done. Don't you let anyone bring you down, because nobody can bring you down besides yourself.
I think that I've gotten the way I am in life is because other people have given me support. And even right now, I have two friends that are texting me, like, you sound awesome. You guys are awesome. Go for it. You're rad. Like, that's so nice. Like, shout out to Isaac and Sarah and Steven. Woo! Thank you guys for supporting us. And whoever else is listening, and probably maybe Alyssa and family. We are going to end on a song, and thank you. This is Youth for Justice. We'll see you again next month.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you for coming.
Bye.